morning. We're glad you're here with us. We've got Aaron celebrating with us, and I know you're going to be blessed. I've already heard him. He's got a powerful voice, so worship the Lord this morning as we begin with this first song. However you want to worship, stand, sit, it's up to you. Father, we just shout out your praise, for there's joy in the house today, God, and we won't be quiet. We want the rooftops to sing your praise. We want the walls to echo the praise of our God. You are in this place. This is the day you have created, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, thank you for joy in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, God, that you are in this place. Father, as we worship you, let all things draw all people unto you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. Well, what's going on in the house of the Lord? There's a couple of things. I got a request from the men of United Methodist Church, which is down the street from us. If anybody's interested on Sunday, June the 8th, I think it's a Saturday, they're sharing a group, Saturday, June the 16th, I'm sorry. They're joining together and they're asking for men of faith to join them from all over the city, which is quite unusual, but hey, they want us to gather and worship together and fellowship and see what's going on in the church around the area. So If you're interested, guys, I'll post it in the back. Next Saturday at Hope Crossing, I think you can put that up there. Ladies' Bible study is done, but they're going into a movie night, and they're done for the summer. What's next? Wednesday night dinner? Leave that up there. Wednesday night, we're doing pizza and salad. 5 o'clock, and then we're coming in here for chapter 2 of Jonah. Jonah's already been swallowed up, right? He's in a big fish, and God's about ready to expel him, and he has to go to Nineveh. So we're going to do that. Saturday, May the 11th. I know Beth is going. Arnita McNeese Bailey. You may not have had direct contact with her, but she is quite the dynamic speaker. She is a Church of God woman and just on fire for God. And what a dynamite spirit. If you can go, you will be blessed. The tickets are $12.50. It's at Hope Crossing. I know Beth is going. It's a busy weekend because next Sunday is Mother's Day, celebration for women. It's my anniversary, and look, she's already left me. But no, she's gone up. Beth is not here. She went up to Goodland Township this morning. The kids are receiving Bible study awards. So all the grandkids have been doing Bible study, and Beth left me a note. Praise for the children who are learning God's Word through the Word of Life program. So she's up there. The kids are getting their awards this morning. She's going to be traveling back right afterwards. So she might catch a little bit of the message. Depends on how long I preach. But that's coming up. So she's gone there. Cleanup day is May the 18th. So if you can join us for that, we'll put together a sign-up sheet for all the events. Please make sure you have your communion elements this morning, because we're doing communion in a little bit. Community Under the Tent, Hope Crossing is doing an event. Hopefully I'll be over there cooking a little bit and helping them out. Let's see, what else? Am I missing anything? VBS coming up in June. Beth is helping to put together that details. Anything else I'm missing, John? Food pantry in the back, we have it. So please just remember the dates on the items. So we'll be going through that. BethanyChurchOfGod.org. I want to share with you, last but not least, I've talked about Pastor Salim out of Kangoma, Kenya. They've been having a revival this week, and God is really pouring out His Spirit for Pastor Salim and the Kangoma Church in Kenya. What a work. He's been sending me pictures. I was trying to get one downloaded. I sent it to my site, but I've got to get it back onto my regular laptop because it was too big for my phone. So I want to share with you, and you'll just enjoy the fact of them worshiping. What a different worship. You think our worship is something? You ought to hear the church in Kenya when they get singing and worshiping. What a celebration. I wish I knew their language, because they're just worshiping the Lord. Their hands are held up. They're dancing and praising the Lord. And God is doing a good work, not just here in Bethany, but all across this great nation. So in our time of prayer this morning, please remember the people in Texas and all of the loss they're going through with the flooding. My son called me yesterday, a special request. One of his engineers was on his way up to Traverse City this past weekend, and somebody crossed over the line and hit them head on. He called me and he said, "Dad, if there's anybody I need to call, it's you." He said, "I don't know much about the circumstances, but I guess they're in really bad shape, broken vertebrae. They're really in the hospital in need." And he said, "Dad, pray." I said, "We can do that." His name is Dom. He works at General Dynamics with Samuel. Hasn't known him a lot, but he said, "Pray for that family." So we'll do that in our time of prayer. We'll lift up the needs, because Gene is at home sick. Kay, I believe, is at home sick. Beth is away. Just a multitude of needs, and we just really want to worship the Lord. This next song is very new to you. It's very new to us. But Maverick, one of the lead singers in Maverick, has a beautiful voice. And when I heard the video from it, man, does Aaron have the voice like Maverick. I just ask, if you will, for this song, since you don't know it, worship the Lord in this, because this is a powerful song. And the words are called "Most Beautiful, So in Love." And they are gathered together. If you see the video, they are just worshiping God. And their eyes are fixed on Dearest Father. How much they love God. And I pray that as we celebrate this song, may your eyes be fixed on God. He is a God to love us. He is a God to worship. Just worship the Lord with this song. It's called Most Beautiful, So in Love.
Just to dwell here forever. This will be my posture, laying at your feet. Oh, just to dwell here forever. Dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, you are God, dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, there's one thing I desire, only this I see. Just to dwell here forever. This will be my posture, laying at your feet. Oh, just to dwell here forever. Dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, you are God, dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, you are God, dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, yes you are. Most beautiful, dearest Father, closest friend, most beautiful, there is nothing left, so our love sings to you. So our love is seeks to you. Most beautiful, you are, dearest Father.
Next song that we're going to sing is called Gratitude, and I know this weekend we're serving and we're partaking in communion, and so I wanted to do this song with you guys just because as we express our gratitude in communion, we just recognize what it was and what it is that Jesus has done for us in our lives.
Amen, that's right.
His blood.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we have nothing but to just show our gratitude towards him. And even in seasons where we may feel like we have nothing to bring, our worship is what he accepts from us as well.
Amen. Amen.
So the song is called Gratitude. I want to just share this with you all.
So I'll throw up my hands.
praise you again and again.
'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I know it's not much,
but I've nothing else
before a king.
Except for a heart that is hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else before a king. Except for a heart that is hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you with a heart singing hallelujah, Father.
Oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Ooh. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a light inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise, we praise you, Lord.
All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've done
nothing
else before a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, praise you, Lord. God, I know it's not much, but Father, we give it to you this morning. I know it's not fit for a king, but Father, we give you our hallelujahs. Oh, we praise you this morning, God, singing hallelujah, God. We worship the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we have gathered in your name. God, hallelujah. We thank you, God, that we can praise you with our heart. We can lift up our hands. We can open up wide, God, and receive the power of your presence. Oh, God, as you are in this place and as you are moving, God, let your Holy Spirit recognize how beautiful you are. God, we worship you with a heart singing hallelujah. God, we just praise you and thank you that no matter what comes our way, no matter what stands in our path, God, you are worthy of our praise. Oh, God, as we praise you today, we know that, God, you have created all things, and far as the east and the west, as deep as the ocean and as high as the sky, God, we can praise you with a voice. No matter what comes our way, there is victory in our Jesus today. There is a rock that we can stand on. There is a clinging, God, a resting in your presence. There is a power in our God. Father, today we worship you with a heart singing hallelujah. God, we pray for the people of Texas as they have experienced flooding, God. We know what it's like. And God, we pray that you will outpour your spirit upon all people. Father, we pray for the needs of this church. We continue to lift up Charlotte and Suzanne and Louie. We continue to lift up Sister Jean and Kay, who are not with us this morning. We lift up traveling mercies on Beth. We pray, God, for Dom, who has experienced a tragic accident. God, that you will lift up their spirits. Father, that you will touch the broken. You will lift up the downtrodden. Father, you will bless those who are struggling. Oh, God, because all we have is a heart singing hallelujah. God, have your way in this church. Have your way in our worship, God. Have your way in the community around us. Father, touch those who are far away and those who are near. Bless those, God, who are calling out to you, that they may hear your voice today, God, that you may be the God of God and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the everlasting God. Today, God, we worship you. Have your way, God, in this church. Have your way as the children, God, go forth today and worship you as they study the Word of God. May it be hid in their hearts, God, that they might not sin against you. What a recognition of the children, God, bowing down, worshiping you, receiving you, God, into their minds and their hearts and their spirits. Bless them today, Father, that it won't be just an award they receive. Let it be the power of your presence and the Word of God in their life. Oh, God, what greater joy could I have than my grandchildren, my children, worshiping you, God? Oh, Father, I thank you so much that they can study the Word of God. And I thank you that, God, you're still going forth in power in their lives. Oh, God, even as we worship you today, Father, I'm so thankful for a place that we can celebrate your love, a place where your power is with us. God, that you would flood our minds and flood our hearts today with your presence. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Let all things flee from us now, and let our minds be flooded with the power of your love. Oh God, what a song to sing. Oh, don't be shy in us now. Let us lift up our voice, singing with a heart of hallelujah. Oh God, have your way now, Father. Before we prepare for the time of communion, God, I'm going to ask Aaron just to lead us in that chorus again. Oh God, don't be shy on us. Let us lift up our voice singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come my song. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a light inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, Father.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your soul. Cause you've got a light inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't you get shy of me,
lift up your song.
You've got a light inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a light inside of those lungs.
this morning. Thank you, God, for your presence and for your love. Thank you for the hallelujahs, Father. We praise you. We bless your name. We lift up the majesty of who you are, God. Have your way in this time, God. And even as we prepare for communion, God, I pray that you will pour in to the life of your people today, God. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you. In your holy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Huh. Just the beauty and the majesty of his presence. I can only imagine what it must have been like to gather at the table with him as he broke the bread and as he poured out the cup. I can only imagine what lied ahead of him and yet what lied in his heart. A gift of love. Only hallelujahs. Father, because we have your presence in our life. And every time we take communion, God, you are there with us. And Father, I pray for these elements this morning. That God, you will pour not only into the cup, not only into the bread that we celebrate, but you will pour into the life of your people this morning. God, that the power of your presence would be displayed, not only in us, but in this church. We'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. These truly remind us of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we break the bread and as he poured the cup, we give thanks for the wonderful gift that he has given to us. Church, celebrate the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ as you will. Now, Lord God, we have taken you in, Father. Let us all celebrate your life in us now. We pray this in the loving name of our Savior Jesus Christ. You be glory and honor forever and ever. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Aaron, for the power of that song. I've been celebrating for a couple of days anyway until the next semester starts. Thanking the Lord for his goodness. We finished that semester and that was a whirlwind tour. We developed 8 podcasts dealing with boundaries, barriers, and believing. Much to our surprise, our professor gave us 100% on our work. So, wow, we were surprised at the bond that developed between 4 of us from all different walks of life, not only from Chicago to Ohio to Michigan, but God is doing a great work. And I'm grateful. We're carrying on the tradition. I'm thankful that my studies are going well and we're ready to embark on leadership in the 21st century. I've already started reading my next textbooks and I got 8 of them this semester. So pray for me. But God is doing a great work in the church. And part of that is, you can put that title up, Our God Knows No Limits. You know, probably the greatest thing about this opportunity is just what God is doing. God is doing in the church, not only in the Anabaptist, not only in the Church of God, not only in the Episcopal Church, the United Methodist across the street, the Catholic Church around the corner. God is doing a great work. And there are no limits as to what God will do. The only limits that God has is what we put on him. Our humanness can only think of so much, and we limit God. R.C. Sproul said, I think the greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests his power in the Word of God. Did you hear me, church? See, sometimes we like to think God is working in the world around us, but we forget we got a wonderful story here. The power of a God who from the very moment of creation, who broke the barriers of time and place, who took the very dirt that we walk on, and He picked it up and He breathed life into it. And He tells us of a wonderful story that exists through the pages of His Scripture. Folks, there's power in this Word. There's power in what God is doing. There's power from the moment of creation to the moment of revelation. There's power in His victory. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And there's power in what His Word will bring to us in the life. And R.C. Sproul said, there's power in the Word of God. Almost all of us are looking for power in methodology. We want it in techniques. We want it in everything around us. We want to see the visible display of God's power. And yet, His Word stands truly as the testament of God's power. For eternity, for over 2,000 years, there's still stories. People are still trying to change the Word of God. They're still trying to find that, oh, science has beat out the Word of God today. Really? I was reading an article the other day. We were talking about it on Wednesday night and how 5 to 7% of people every day are leaving the church. The church is losing more and more because science is winning out. There's no science in the Word of God. Really? Wow. And I began to read in the current book that I was reading out of Chicago, two people that are talking about 21st century church. And one of the things they noticed is that they want a relevant church. They want a church that's relevant to today's theology. They want a church that's relevant to today's things. And the writers began to talk about how the power of God was moving and displayed all the way through the book of Acts. And they felt the power of God and the wind of God moving and the wind of God's change. And then all of a sudden the coolness of the air hits and everything slows down. And we have this wind of SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, and the changing. And then we have all of this LGBTQ and all of the things investing. And pretty soon the coolness of the Word of God is begin to mellow out, and people no longer see the power of God because it's not relevant to them today. And yet we find in this Scripture that God did something powerful to people of a different walk. Last week we talked about the relevancy of God when we looked at the Ethiopian eunuch and we looked at what God was doing. We said, wow, new eyes, new lenses. What is God doing different in the church? And I bring to you this passage today, just a couple of small verses to explore the power that God has no limits. Let's look at the Scripture today in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. It's page 1710 of your large print Bibles under your chairs. If you want, it's going to be up on the screen. If you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 10. Now, this is in no way the whole story, but there is on the screen, Acts chapter 10. We're looking at just a few of the closing verses, page 1710 of the large print Bibles. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. You know, for you and I, keep your Bibles open if you want. This whole story begins at the beginning of chapter 10. We notice what Peter is going through Joppa and a couple of things that are happening. And the power of the Holy Spirit is with Peter. You know, the beauty of it is there is no limit to God. God doesn't just rest on Peter God didn't just rest on Paul. God didn't rest on Stephen. God didn't rest on James and John and Luke and Mark and all of the other apostles. And he didn't just bless Timothy. He didn't just bless John when he was on the Isle of Patmos. That God is still moving today. And the power of his word, as we looked at this Ethiopian eunuch and this whole story. Here you have a story where Peter's vision is revealed to him. He's busy in about the work of God. Peter becomes a whole different person. When we look earlier, Peter's that fireside guy that said, no, I don't know him. Remember the story when he's gathered with a bunch of people and Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter gathers around the fire and they say, don't you know that God? Aren't you one of those disciples? Peter goes, I don't know him. Come on, church. We gather in a world around us that Peter will go, hey, I saw you on the Facebook the other day at Bethany Church of God. I heard your voice. Wasn't that you at the church? No, I don't go to that church. Weren't you the ones helping celebrate? I heard you singing the other day. No, that's not my church. Well, don't you know God? Well, yeah, I go to church occasionally. Come on now. We face a situation in our life where people around us, you might go, well, I'm not sure how they'll receive this whole idea that I'm at Bethany Church of God or I'm gone to church. What do you mean? You went to church this morning? You know what's funny is when you tell them you went to church this morning, they're going to go, what was the message about? I got ready to go to church this morning. I told them, I said, I'm leaving for church. Two of my process coaches sat in my office about 7:30 this morning. My mind's all about trying to get done with my work and get out of there, get on to church. Because you know I got to get the donuts. Those are important. I'm getting ready to leave and they're like, okay, what are you preaching about this morning? So I'm like, wow, okay. So we just, you guys are like music to my ears. I'll get to church in a minute because let me tell you what God is doing. I'm standing every morning at 7:30 in the morning. We have to go and report out our manpower. I have a new assistant plant manager. Her name is Nicole. Nicole gathers in there in the morning time. We got into a conversation and she goes, what do you mean you're in school? Tell me about this school. I said, yeah, I'm working on my doctorate. You are? Where are you at? So she begins to ask a lot of questions. And I said, well, it's in leadership transformation. She goes, oh, really? Tell me more about that. I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church. Oh! So she begins to ask questions in the morning time. She goes, what's your sermon on this week? And here we are, a bunch of people in the room gathered. Come on now, church. You think we have church here? Come on, we're gathered in a room with a bunch of other process coaches, leadership. She wants to know what the sermon's on next week. I said, well, it's about the Ethiopian eunuch, about God breaking down the barriers, boundaries, and for us believing. Oh, tell me more. So now every morning, come on now, church. That's what I'm talking about. God knows no limits. So we gathered in the morning time, and the first conversation, she says to me, how you doing this morning, Pastor? I'm no longer Jim, a process coach or a senior process coach at Ford. I'm now pastor. I'm like, this is a little weird for me. Come on, folks. I just got to tell you, it's really weird for me to walk into work in the morning at 7:30 in the morning. My mind's all about making production, getting schedules, paying people, getting all things kind of done. And it's hectic in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, it's go, 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 go until 7:30. I finally get a breath about 8:30 and she walks in. So, Pastor, what was the message last week? Come on now, church. When people start to ask you, you got to be ready, right? This whole story, the narrative that Luke presents to us is about a conversion story. Cornelius is one of those, he's one of those Gentiles. He's one of those other people you don't want to associate with. Because you know Peter is from the Jewish clan. He's one of the others. This is one of the SOBs, some other brand, right? Yeah, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Uh-huh. I watched your eyes. But see, they're from some other church. Well, we'll call them an SOC, some other church. But Cornelius is one of those Gentiles. And Peter gets a message from God. He says, I want you to go to Cornelius. Peter's like, no way, God. He's trying to relax. God gives him a vision, says, you're going to Cornelius. Peter's like, I don't want to go see this guy. He's a Gentile. I'm a Jew. And immediately, as soon as he sees Cornelius, he finally decides. There's this entourage of people with him. Are you with me, folks? You think God has a limit? God puts people around you and then waits to see what you're going to do. You hear me? Because God didn't just send Peter alone. He didn't go by himself to Cornelius' house. Peter's already got an entourage because of what he did at Joppa. He's already got this whole group of people around him, and they're going, oh, you're one of those Christians, aren't you? Mm-hmm. We heard about what you did. We heard about your giving to the church. We heard about you singing. We heard about you worshiping. What are you going to do now? You got a Gentile. This guy eats that other kind of food that you're not supposed to have. He doesn't worship the same God you do. Well, does he? Well, Peter gets there, and this whole diet and palate and everything else, Cornelius has already been prepped. Hear me, church? Because God has no limits. He's already got the person he's putting in your path already prepped to hear the word of God. And all he's waiting for you to open your mouth to share the word of God. God has already got all things laid out. You think God has a limit? No, he already knows where you're going. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows the path that is in front of you. And he's waiting for your response. And God's going to put people around you and say, okay, now what will you do? What choice will you make? Because guess what? They're watching you. They already got an idea about how this is all going to go down. And they already sense that you're going to take a step back and go, yeah, nope. And when you dive headlong into it, Peter does. Peter begins to speak to Cornelius. Cornelius accepts the word of God. See, God's already got it laid all out. This whole conversion, God's got it all planned out. Cornelius begins to accept the word of God. Not only Cornelius, now hear me out, church, all the people around Cornelius, his whole family, the people underneath him, all the people around him. God doesn't just touch one. He begins to pour out to all of them. They begin to hear the word of God, and God anoints them with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when God puts you in a path, and God walks with you, and God begins to lay all things out, this story has a different ending, because we're powerful in God's hands. This whole story crystallizes with the bottom line of what we just shared with you. While Peter was still speaking with them, oh dear God, what happened? The Holy Spirit anoints the people of God. You see, our God knows no limit. He doesn't care whether you've had a Catholic background. He doesn't care if you've had a Jewish background. God anoints you in the power of His presence. And we had this conversation again this morning. They were asking about the church. Well, tell us what you're like. Mm-hmm. See, these people are speaking music to my ears. I'm loving it. I'm loving it in the middle of my office to begin to have a message. Well, you know, I come from a Catholic background, and, you know, it just wasn't really exciting for me. And tell me about what you do. Oh, yeah. You know, all you got to do is open this little path for this preacher. I take every step that they give me. You see, God can do some wonderful things. The narrative of Cornelius' conversion. Boy, I could spend the entire sermon just on this whole idea of what happened to Cornelius and God's preparation in his life. There is no limit to our God. Jen Wilkins writes, "The truth of God's limitless power would be absolutely terrifying if it were not paired with the truth of His limitless goodness." You hear that? The truth of God's limitless power would be absolutely terrifying if it were not paired with the truth of His limitless goodness. See, God is omnipotent. Asserts that there is no limit on His ability to act. God is sovereign. There is no limit on His authority. There's no doubt that we're going to spend eternity enjoying the ever-increasing revelation of the things we know about God. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait till my feet touch the screen, touch the floor, open the gates. I can't wait for what God has in store for me. I can't wait for people say, aren't you worried about death? No, I'm not afraid of it. Let it be. Because what's going to happen when he turns? Yeah, I'll be sorry for my family. I won't like the fact that I have to leave them. But I know that what I'm doing right now, when Beth is up there celebrating with 5 grandchildren who are accepting award for God investing in their life, I'm not worried about the future of what God will do with my kids. God has got His hand on my family. And I'm trusting God that He's going to mold them. He's going to shape them. When my son calls me and says, Dad, pray for this guy, I know that God is working all things for his good. You see, when God begins to invest, what God puts into motion, He will not change. They know where I stand. They know what I believe. They know where I'm at. They know what I'm doing. They know the gift of God's power. And God is working it in their life. There's no doubt that we're going to spend eternity. The secret attributes of God, whether or not Peter understands or even agrees with it, this whole idea is yet this narrative tells us about the power and no limit of God. You see, we looked at the Ethiopian eunuch and this some idea of God's inclination and what God is able to do. Boy, I love it. The power of His resurrection, the conquering power over death. God has turned our zero sums into positive. Christ has stretched the limits of life and death Himself, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He pours in this limitless, liberating power that anyone who asks Him, God will give it to him. The problem is, we know there's no limit to our God. What do you think's keeping us from being all that God wants us to be? What do you think? Huh? That's correct. What keeps you from experiencing God? Me. That's really challenging for us. A.W. Tozer writes, I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present state. The stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of, are you ready? Holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present or there will be no manifestation of Christ to His people. He waits, God waits to be wanted. Too bad that many of us, He waits so long, so very long in vain. Wow. See, the truth of it is, God is waiting. God is longing to pour out His Spirit on us. He wants to give all mankind the desire to have all things and to do all things. You know, we were told in the Scriptures that He said, if you believe unto the mountain and you can say unto it, be thou removed and it will be cast into the sea. He said, you will do greater things, John tells us. He said, you'll do greater things than Christ. Christ raised the dead. He opened the blind eyes. He caused healing. He cleansed the leper. He opened the ears. He opened the eyes. God did wonderful works. And He said, you and I, we can do even more than that. Whoa. I've been, one of the books I read, Henry Blackaby, and I'm not trying to tout books that I've read, but wow, spiritual leadership, moving God's people onto the agenda. You know, one of the problems is, I think that in some small way, each of us want to experience the love of God. The problem is, there's dryness in the valley. That feeling that something is just not right or something is lacking. We fight through the season of discontent, the season of nothingness or the lack of activity in hopes that in one moment the power of prayer, the activity of the Holy Spirit will break the mold of isolation. See what I'm saying? Is there moments in our life to where it's completely silent? Some of you know what I'm talking about. There are moments in our life to where it's dry. it's still. And we don't hear the power of God's Word. Doesn't mean God is inactive. That 400 years between the end of Malachi and to the New Testament doesn't mean God wasn't active. It just means God's waiting on us. You see, God will wait. God will pour into your life and then see what you will do with the power of His Word. See, when we can get up and God begins to manifest Himself in us, there's a moment of dryness in our life. And that's where Isaiah said, now that we got to wait on the Lord, we got to renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. Where Matthew says that if we'll pour into it, God will answer our needs. God knows that we need Him every hour of every day. And there are some moments to where it's quiet. One of the realizations we need to know is that we were made so much for more than this. I told you the story the one time about where I was broken. I didn't want the ministry. I didn't even want to be married. Surprisingly enough, I'm coming up to 45 years of marriage. Just a youngster at this. But there was a time I didn't want marriage. Didn't want to be married. Didn't want to be the pastor of this church. Matter of fact, I didn't want the church altogether. I was done. My spirit was broken. I, like you, have seasons of dryness. Seasons to where things overwhelm me. Seasons to where it's hard. This Christian walk isn't easy for all of us. I'm not saying you're going to have a bed of roses and everything's going to be exactly the way you think. There are going to be moments. I remember those moments sitting around a table with my kids. I didn't have a dime to my name. I couldn't rub two nickels together if I wanted to. I was a guy out collecting pop bottles. I didn't even have a car. They came and picked it up out of my driveway because I couldn't pay the bill. I didn't have any money. They repossessed my car. If you've ever been in that position, this isn't fun. My kids sit at the table and we're scrounging together to eat hamburger helper. Come on. Fish sticks and mac and cheese was a benefit for us. And I remember sitting at that table and my daughter saying to me, in the power of prayer, because we believed God was still working. I didn't see it. I couldn't tell it. I didn't know it was happening, but I knew God was there. You know what I'm talking about, folks? There's moments in our life to where we want God to work. We want His power displayed in our life. And God just sits silent. So we pause for prayer in this moment. My little girl, she's going to be 44 this year, surprisingly enough. My little girl piped up and said, Dad, Daddy, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. You want to talk about God breaking you? You want to talk about God moving in the midst of something? All it took was a little child to say, Dad, don't worry about it. God began to change what was going on from that moment forward. God began to put things into place because I had a new vision, a new insight, a new direction from a little child who said, Dad, don't worry about it. God began to help me scrape the nickels together, plug it together. Pretty soon, I was able to buy an old truck. Ford F-150, for those of you. It was an old truck. I paid $200 for it. I scraped together $200. I went out to the junkyard, and I bought jump seats. It was one of those jumper seats, an old F-150, big old green truck. That thing was a piece of, you know what? It had holes in the bottom of it. When it snowed, my kids used to laugh because the snow would come up through the floorboards and cover them with snow in the back seat. I'm telling you, you want to keep from experiencing God? Those things will break you down. No money. It leaked oil. I spent more money on oil in that truck in 1 year than I thought I could even put gas in it. And it didn't get very much for gas mileage. So you talk about scraping it, but it got us where we needed to go. We began to strive and work together. And God was doing a great work. I'm telling you, you're going to go through seasons. You're going to go through times where God is silent. But don't stop moving. Keep pressing on. Keep moving forward. Keep one foot in front of the other. Keep knowing. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep living for God, because God is going to do a great work. And He that has begun a good work in you will not stop until it's completed. And pretty soon, I was doing pretty good. I finally got another job and got some money and things started to flow in. I bought a new truck and things started to change until about 2008. I thought I was rich and everything. And then God had to change some things. Folks, I told you the story. 2008, Ford said, "We like you, but you don't have a job anymore. Go home." Another situation. You talk about being broke. I was in the midst of it, and I said, "God, that's it." I spent 3 or 4 months grieving. I didn't know what to do. And God began to open up the doors. And I said, "God, if you will walk me through this, God, I promise that I will give you every dime that I have. And everything that comes in, I will honor you with it." From that moment forward, my wife and I have made a pact. And she will tell you, if I get a dollar to my name, 10 cents is going to the Lord. I will not stop, no matter what, because God has been faithful. If you're experiencing lack things in your life, things are not easy for you, stay fast. Don't stop. "Well, I better get on with this." See, the problem is everything's not about you. And if you don't believe that, I have a book in my office that somebody gave me a long time ago, 20 years ago, that reminded me it's not about you. Because there are times it's about us, right? You know, come on. We want to be truthful about it. Sometimes it's about us. We like to think we're a little bit better than a slice of bread. But it's not all about us. It's about what God is doing and imparting in our life. I'll share with you this in closing as we get ready. God wants you just the way you are. I was listening on the message the other day. God knows our limits. I heard about a very successful pastor. My heart broke. Here was a successful pastor in a thriving church, the moving of God. The culture of his day slipped into his life. He lent himself down the path of alcoholism and reached the darkest days of his life. It doesn't matter what his name is, but he reached down the path of alcoholic. In the darkest moments of his life, God spoke to him and said, "I want you just the way you are. I don't want you the way that you think you should be. I want you just the way you are." I want to talk about a God who knows no limits. Sadly, this pastor wrote multiple books, had a successful church, went down the wrong path. See, culture gets in the way. Things around the world gets in our way. God, we need to stay in touch. It's not that we limit God. It's not that God is limitless. It's just that we are turned in the wrong direction. Here, this pastor went down the wrong path. Sadly to say, his life slipped away. He's no longer able to speak the word of God. God wants you and I just the way that we are. God wants to hear us the way we are. Stop trying to do God's work. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to be all that you think God wants you to be. And just be who God has called you to be. You want to know that God has no limits? Then let go and let him have it. Cornelius became all that God wanted for his life, his family, and you and I can do the same today. Truth of the matter is, will you let him do it? The only thing that limits God is me and you. Father, have your way in this time, Father, as we close. I pray that you'll bless the closing song, Father. You'll bless us, that you'll cause us to think. You'll cause us to stop. You'll pause us, God, in the path and remind us that there is no limit, no boundaries known unto man. For out of your infinite wisdom, you giveth and giveth and giveth again. Bless this time, Father. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. room. You're here, and I know you are moving. I'm here, and I know you will feel me. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here, and I know you are moving. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. See fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates and head it on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Say fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates and let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Say calm down. Spirit, when you're moving, make my heart pound. When you feel the room, you're here, and I know you are moving. I'm here, and I know you will feel me. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you feel the room, you're here, and I know you are moving. I'm here, and I know you will feel me.
No limit, no boundaries known unto us. May God's presence be with you this week. Have a great week. Go in His peace.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Deborah, is you a Negro? I figured you did.
Can take a dime.